What is going on, everybody, and welcome to Creator's Corner on DeStefano's Magic, where we give you a glimpse behind the magical content. My name's Anthony, I'm your host, and tonight we have a guest from over the seas, across the pond, one of my favorite creators. I actually started watching her, and I now want to go to Disneyland Paris like every day. I'm looking up flight prices, as I was just telling her. It is Sam. Sam, for God, how are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. Happy to be here.
It's so awesome to e-meet. We've been chatting for a while, and I hope you're feeling better, as I said before. And
Thank you so much. Update for the
viewer. She just had surgery, so she's on the mend. The one thing I can say that I'm super excited about is that I'm going to get to see you in Walt Disney World, my home park. Because you said you're releasing that vlog during
the
this
vlogs
time.
From that very, very soon. Hopefully starting this Sunday, actually. So,
so there we go. You get this today. And then tomorrow you get, you know, Sam Forgot in Disney World, which it's crazy because, like, obviously I'm there. So I've never been to Disneyland Paris. So, you know, little icebreaker before. Have you ever felt like that? Like when you're watching, because I know you watch other vloggers and we'll get into that later, but you're watching, you're going, I want to go to Walt Disney World because that looks fun.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I watched a lot of Walt Disney World vlogs for a long time before I got to go there for the first time. And same with any of the Disney parks, to be honest. I like watching vlogs. It's just, you know, one of the reasons I do vlog myself is because I enjoy it. I enjoy watching others' vlogs. So yeah, for years and years, I used to watch Walt Disney World vlogs, California vlogs, even the Asian parks. I would watch people's vlogs. And it's fun seeing it through other people's experiences in a way. And sometimes it makes you think of places that you never even thought about going or things that you didn't even know existed. So yeah, I love it.
That's kind of how we found our like lounges, right? As we watched, I think it was on a Molly video. She was like, oh, let's check out this lounge. And we're like, wait, there's adult side of Disney that we never even experienced, you know? So it's awesome to watch other vloggers because it gives you info and it kind of draws inspiration.
Absolutely. And it's the same with, even though I go to Disneyland Paris often, I watch Disneyland Paris vloggers still myself because sometimes they might discover something fun or something secret that I didn't even know about. So I still enjoy even watching people in my own park, my own park, as if it belongs to me, but my home park is what
If it does, just, you know, lifetime pass, I would like it.
I know, right? That would be amazing.
So obviously, if you guys are watching for the first time, thank you so much. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. But I wanted to give you a glimpse of what it is to be a content creator. Most of our content creators are Disney-themed content creators because we are a Disney channel. Not the Disney channel. I wish I could do that. But we are a Disney content channel. So we always start with a little icebreaker of tell us some fun facts about yourself. Now, I just saw on your Instagram that you are one hell of a piano player. And you're like, before this is the humble. Yeah, I just do it for fun. No, that's good. There's no fun on piano. You. Like, I sound like a four-year-old trying to play. So what are some other hobbies besides, obviously, Disney World?
Honestly, I'm not that interesting. I think the piano is probably the only thing that might be a little bit different. But I like reading a lot. I read a lot. I do play the piano, and I've been playing it since I was a child. This is why, for me, it does feel like just a bit of fun right now. And when I was younger, it wasn't fun. Trust me, I had like hours of hating to go to lessons and stressing out because I had only about half an hour before my piano teacher was meeting me. And I was like, I don't want to, you know, embarrass myself in front of her. So I do actually owe a lot to my piano teacher as a child to, you know, be able to play, because I only really play every now and again now. I don't play all the time. And I make mistakes, but it doesn't matter because it's just for fun.
Yeah. There's no pressure. It's just.
But yeah, exactly. But it helps me relax. So sometimes when I'm really stressed, like the only thing that helps me feel a little more relaxed is the piano, because you have to concentrate whether you like it or not. Unless you're a super professional pianist who just is capable of playing without any worries in the world and just, you know, just playing with their fantastic fingers. I'm not that person. I need to still concentrate and make sure I get the notes right. So that concentration forces me to not think about anything else but the music.
So yeah, what sucks for me is like, I love music. Like music is like one of my passions of life, and I stink at everything musically. Cannot sing, cannot play guitar, cannot keep a beat.
Nothing. See, I would have presumed there's somebody, I can see you with a guitar. I don't know why.
I just can't, my fingers aren't fast enough. It's like, it I is, can't, yeah. my hand eye is good. I was like an athlete, but like when I pick up a guitar, I'm like,
Guitar is difficult though. I tried to play it a few years ago, and it's I feel like it's more hard than the piano personally.
Yeah, I can't imagine playing anything well. Yeah. That instrumentally cannot do it. But Also, I've looked up a little bit about you. Theater. You're a big theater person.
Oh, yes, that's definitely true. I am. I do love theater. It's funny because I guess I sometimes just relate theater to Disney. And I just presume most people who love Disney probably do enjoy theater as well. But no, you're right. You're absolutely right. I adore theater. And my channel actually started mainly with theater reviews and theater vlogs before I even really went into Disney. Yeah. Because I moved to London for university years and years ago now. And when you're a student, there's loads of perks that you get, such as student discounts for theatre shows, like £20 tickets for front row. And a lot of, like, you could go last minute to theatre and show your student card and they would give you a £10 ticket somewhere really good. And so I made the most of that time of my life when I did have that student card and saw so many shows. And I still try and go every now and again, but tickets have gotten more expensive. I'm no longer a student, and so it's not as easy, unfortunately, especially because I also go to Disneyland Paris now more often than I did back when I was younger. And you have to prioritize where you're spending your money.
It's funny because I never connected the two, but like when you say that, like Disney and theater, like hand in hand, like in my head, I've never really connected it. And it, obviously the Disney movies, but there's so much theatrics in Disney that you just kind of, I guess, assume is going to be there, but it's all acting and... There's
absolutely
a, you know, song and dance, like there's a lot of theater aspects
absolutely
you don't even think about. So I guess I'm a theater fan and I didn't even
realize.
There you go. So how did you get into content creation? I know you said you started with like doing the theater vlogs and reviews, but how did you like say, okay, this is what I want to do now?
It really kind of came to me almost accidentally in a lucky way, if that makes sense. So for about, I want to say 10 years, maybe 8-9 years, I was just posting from time to time whenever I wanted to, not really taking it too seriously, not really making any money from it. Mm-hmm. This was from when I was at university, and it was like an outlet for me because what I studied at university had nothing to do with, you know, the creative world, I suppose. I studied science, not really knowing at the time where I wanted to go with it. And so I needed, and all my friends at university were really, you know, there because they loved science. And I loved science, but I suppose I wasn't into it enough to care enough about it to not need another outlet. So whenever I had some free time, I would just post really, really boring, just awful quality videos from my room, just chatting, like, you know, just chatting about my day at university, about a show that I'd seen. It was honestly so boring. But I think the YouTube of that time was so different that even with the terrible quality videos that I was producing, people were still watching. Not a lot of people, but there was some people here and there that somehow came across my videos, probably because of the theater, you know, videos that I was doing. If somebody was interested in a show, they might have come across my channel. And I honestly did it because I really liked it, and I never told anyone. So even my friends, my closest friends, didn't know back then. And I think they started to discover it because, you know, it was bound to happen. And once they did, I didn't deny it, and nobody made fun of me, thankfully, but it was still something that I didn't feel like I needed to tell everybody. So like, I would post a video, but I would never advertise it. I would just post it and hope for the best.
It's that awkward stage. Like,
exactly.
So,
well,
before we were talking off air, and I told you, you know, I did the wrestling podcast, and I felt the same way. Cause like no one really knew I was like a wrestling fan except a couple people. So I wasn't like promoting it. And then it started like getting bigger. And then I started getting comfortable, like, talking about it and promoting it. And then you get to a point where in your content creating journey, and this is for anyone who's a content creator, you just got to not care what people think. Like, I would say 75% of my friends don't care about Disney, right?
Yeah,
that's
same.
Fine. Everybody likes what they like, but this is what I have a passion for, and this is what I want to talk about. And you should always try to advertise it, but it is that weird, like, I don't want to tell anyone I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard, isn't it? I think especially when you're starting out, when the first few months of it, maybe. For me, I feel like it was a few years before I felt comfortable.
You ever go back and watch like your first, like I go back and watch my first podcast. I go, what? It was a decade ago.
Whoa,
that was terrible.
No, honestly, I feel like my videos from the first seven years of my, you know, YouTube life were all incredibly embarrassing. I don't go back myself, but sometimes, you know, somebody might weirdly comment on an old video. Some of my friends who were in some of my older videos sometimes might reminisce and send me a link to one of my old videos. And then I watch a bit of it. I'm like, why did you send it to me? I don't want to see this. So Yeah, it's but I keep them all up. I like having them up because I like people to know the journey, even though some of them honestly make me feel embarrassed.
We have a creators group that we all get together, like being a couple of friends and work on stuff. And that's when I was like, should I change my thumbnails like that when we first started? And he's like, no, it shows progression. Like
absolutely. Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah.
It's cool to say, right?
Yeah, I think it is. It's cool for yourself to see how much you've progressed because I would never, I don't even understand how I had the confidence back in the days to put some of those videos up because of how bad they are, some of them. And, you know, I have videos of me sitting in my room and you can't even see most of my face, but I, for some reason, thought that was a good shot. Then you can only see my mouth. And I must have just been like, it's fine, that'll do. We'll just hope for the best. And, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I used to post a video and I'm like, two people are going to see it. Who cares?
Yeah, like, exactly. Exactly.
And that would be the one that gets like hundreds of views. I know. Like, why? So, you started in your dorm room, let's say, in college, just, you know, testing the waters of a creative outlet. So then you're progressing. And then you go, what made you go Disney? Like, that's where I need to be.
It's hard. It's hard because I never really chose it. So I've always been a Disney fan. I was lucky to go to Disneyland Paris only as a child a few times. And so I've always loved it. I, you know, grew up watching Disney films like a lot of people do. And then I met some friends actually through Loving Theatre. So not my university friends who just didn't care too much about Disney, but I met some friends through Loving Theatre through, you know, chatting to them when I was at a show. And they suggested that we should all go to the Disney together. There was four of us.
Yeah.
And I'd never been to Disney with friends, without any adults, without family. And so I was a little bit worried, apprehensive, because I had so many good, you know, childhood memories with my brother and my family. But, you know, I said, let's do it. And we managed to get a good deal, obviously splitting the cost between four people. Fantastic. Yeah. We shared a room, all four of us. And we went for 2 nights, 3 days. And I just decided to film it because I was already doing YouTube at the time. And at that point, my friends knew that I was doing YouTube, even though I wasn't still advertising it much. I thought I might just vlog it, not only to just put it on YouTube because I enjoy doing it, but also because it would be a way for us to show it to our families, to our other friends, to look back on ourselves in the future. Because it was like this first trip together as friends, and it was a big deal to us. And that got a lot of views. And I didn't think about the views much, but I took note. I was like, okay, well, I guess people enjoy that. So then the next time I went, I vlogged it again. And I think I probably vlogged it 1% better than the first time. Still not amazing, but just a little bit better. And then again, that got views. And it was also just natural because once we went that first time, me and my group of friends, we wanted to go a few more times. We got annual passes for the first time, and then we had, you know, the opportunity to go because we were going together, we could share a room, because of the annual pass we didn't have to pay every single time, and so we were going more often. And yeah, that's kind of, anytime I would go, I'd get more views, and people would come and saying, oh, I really like your vlogs. And it was weird, it was strange, and I think that's how the gradual shift happened from mainly focusing on theater and just whatever home video I wanted to make to more Disney focused and more Disney vlogs.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's like kind of how I believe every content creator goes through, right? Like you do it, and then it's almost like something clicks where you're like, wow, like this is fun. But what you said is so important, like the 1% better thing. Even if you get 1% better, you're getting better. So like,
yeah,
I always tell people, like, keep trying different things, be different, right? And that's the cool thing about, like, finding you is, like, for us in the States, I don't see a lot of Disneyland Paris stuff because my YouTube's like Walt Disney World, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Universal.
Like, to be fair, most of mine is also Walt Disney World, I'll be honest.
So did your love for theater, like, help you get comfortable in front of the camera? Like, did you, you know, when you were in the room at first practicing, was it like kind of like you were trying to do something theatrical or like put your passion into that?
I feel like I was just trying to talk like a normal person without being embarrassing. And it's just, when I look back at my very old vlogs, especially the ones where I was, you know, filming just in my room, I think they were very awkward because I didn't sound natural, because I was overthinking everything I was saying. And so I think the more I did it, just naturally, I became more confident. And when I was doing it with friends, it automatically became more normal for me because I had my friends around. I couldn't really suddenly be different because they would tell me, you're being weird.
Yeah.
You know, why are you suddenly putting on a persona?
Yeah.
And so I think that helps.
It's like a safety blanket. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, how should I say this word to sound good? You know, this is genuinely what I used to think like 10 years ago. What if I say this word a little bit wrong? Or what if people make fun of how I said this word? And I would constantly overthink everything. Whereas now I just say whatever. And, you know, sometimes I might get things wrong. And what can you do about it? You know?
I think that's what is most relatable about content creators, right? Mm-hmm. Is they're real people. And, you know, you said YouTube has changed. Like, I view YouTube as like a TV now, like television. Like, that's how I consume my entertainment, is watching vlogs. Is like watching a TV show. Oh, new episode, new podcast.
For sure.
I ask this to everyone, right? And, and what is the hardest part of being a content creator, especially, you know, moving from, okay, I just wanted to talk in the room just so I could be heard or let my frustrations out or whatever, to now it's like I have 10,000 people viewing me every week. What's the hardest part of that journey?
The hardest part, I think, well, number one, yes, the amount of people watching can make it a little bit scarier, meaning that you do have to make sure that, you know, you're not tired for it. If you're tired, you still have to energize yourself for a video. And I think that's definitely a big thing that can be a bit of a struggle sometimes, because especially when I'm in the park for a whole day, sometimes by the end of the evening, I'm just starting a new video, because I do sometimes evening meal videos when I'm literally about to start the video and I've already had a full day. And the first few seconds of a video need to definitely be energetic, because if I start a video like, hi, how are you doing? It's the end of the night. If somebody's watching for the first time, absolutely. So I think that's one part of it that's a bit difficult, which is something that I never really used to think about much when I didn't have as many viewers watching, because I just, you know, I didn't think many people would watch. But now I'm aware that people are watching and I want to keep growing. But also, filming in a theme park, I think, can just be difficult in general, because your environment's constantly changing. So it was so much easier when I was doing it at home, because you know what you have around you. It's always the same. You can, you know, make sure it's quiet. You know, the light is good. Everything is good. But in a theme park, you could start vlogging and you might be saying something that you're actually very happy. You might be explaining something the way you exactly wanted to. And suddenly an announcement comes, you know, oh, Disney Dreams is about to start. And it kind of, it could work, but it could also ruin something that you were trying to say if it's too loud and so nobody can hear your voice anymore. So things like that, the ever-changing environmental factors around you, I think, is something that I struggle with probably the most. Even like just how busy it is somewhere, and I'm walking whilst I'm filming, and when I started, the area around me was very quiet, and I'm like, okay, that's good, nobody's in shots, you know, I can go do well with this shot. And then suddenly there's loads of people behind me, and I'm like, oh no. And then you get distracted sometimes around you.
I think that's a real thing. Was there ever like an anxiety to press like the play button or the record button? Because I feel like as a creator we all go through that deep breath, oh, I don't want to do it. Okay, I'm not doing it. I'll do it tomorrow. Did you ever go through that where you were just like, I just don't want to hit record, but then you do, and sometimes it comes out your best content, actually.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure there are moments. I still sometimes have moments where, you know, I may just, a particular day I might not feel as confident and I'm about to start filming, and I just, you know, I press the record button and then literally I feel somebody looking at me, even though I'm normally fine with it. But then I feel it and I suddenly put it down and I'm like, hi to that person, you know, awkwardly say hi. I'm like, sorry, like, I hope you don't mind that I'm filming, even though they probably don't even care. They're just curious. But like, I still sometimes, if I'm having my low doubt moments, I do have moments where I'm like, oh, I just really want to make sure no one's looking at me. At least when once I start the video, though, normally, like, it's only the first few minutes of it. Once I get it rolling towards the end, it gets easier and easier.
I feel like in like even our vlogs, you see like, the beginning, it's like the nervous, like, hey, today we're at Coronado Springs. And by the middle of the video, we're laughing and being weird and just having a good time. Like, I feel like it's just, I've always struggled with trying to be perfect, right? Trying to have the perfect video. And what you said really hit home is like, you were doing the same thing, but like, luckily your friends were there and went, what are you doing? Like, that's not you. And I feel like that's, every content creator wants to be perfect, but I feel like all the content creators I watch are relatable. So do you think being relatable is kind of what you should strive for as a content creator?
I think it's good to show imperfections, you know, I think, and that's something that my friends have reminded me before, because I was known to, especially a couple of years ago when I first started doing YouTube full time, my intros, I would take ages, you know, filming them, because I'd, like you, I would want it to be perfect. And sometimes I might be in the park with a friend and I'd be like, just give me a couple of minutes, I'm just going to do the intro. And they would just start laughing. They'd be like, honestly, that was fine. You don't need to like worry about it too much. And they're right. So now I've tried to kind of, I'm so sorry if you can hear some noise here.
That's fine.
Okay. London at nighttime is just cars going. But no, they, yeah, they reminded me that just like the more natural that you are and the more yourself you are, even if you do get something wrong, even if you do something embarrassing, that's better. So I agree with you because I prefer watching people that, like you said, are relatable and sometimes do get things wrong and don't take themselves too seriously. Because for me, that's one of the most, you know, off-putting things in a video. If somebody's, unless I'm watching a different kind of content. Yes. So with Disney content, I don't necessarily want
informative and fun is what like, that's, I think, what people are drawn to. Mm-hmm. Like, give some info. Yeah. And have some fun. I and I think you do a great job about that. And I'm very jealous because like I watch you go to like Ratatouille is like one of my all time favorites. And Disneyland in Paris, obviously for obvious reasons, is so catered to Ratatouille. And I'm just want to go there and eat at the restaurant and feel like like a mouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool. It's such a fun restaurant.
An interesting thing you said though that I think really also will like kind of hit home with content creators is when people watch you film. Has anyone ever asked you like, hey, can you not film me? Or has there ever been a weird interaction? We haven't ran into one, but
I feel like maybe there was once a few years ago, but it wasn't in Disneyland Paris. It wasn't in Disney World. I want to say it was in California, very randomly. I was in Disneyland, California for a few days, a few years ago. And it was just a man.
Of course it's in the States, right?
Yeah. No, but it was fine. And like, I think I wasn't even filming them. I think they just assumed I was because I had a camera and they were like, I don't want to be. I was like, then I just told him, I was like, I promise you, I'm not filming you. And I showed it to them and they were like, okay, cool. And it was just, we were in a queue together. So that's why they were a little bit concerned, which I completely understand.
Yeah, you're like on top of each other. So
yeah. 100%. And then I just showed it to them and they understood afterwards. But that's kind of it. That's in terms of somebody actually telling me I don't want to be on camera. Sometimes I might ask somebody. So if it's a cast member who's in a video, I would definitely have asked them beforehand, is it okay for you to be on camera?
I love that they might say no,
and then I won't film them.
By the way, like you put the cast members on because cast members make the world go around.
Oh, yeah. Cast members are amazing. And they're fantastic across all the parks, honestly. They're just amazing. So the heart of the magic, really.
Yeah. What is your favorite thing about Disneyland Paris? For all the people who are like me that are sitting here dreaming of being there, if you're like, hey, like for me, I'm a food guy, right? I don't know why, but when people go Disney World, I go Gaston's, eat Gaston's bun. There's so much in Disney World, but my brain goes Gaston's bun. One thing, if you could say, hey, try this in Disneyland Paris. Ride, show, food, whatever.
Oh, such a hard one. Oh, my God. Personally, I just love Disneyland Paris because of how beautiful it is. And I know that's hard to say that's the one thing. But anytime I just go there, the main park, Disneyland Park, it's just stunning. It's in my opinion, it's the most beautiful, you know, Main Street USA leading up to the castle. So for me, I just enjoy the atmosphere of being in Disneyland Park, no matter which land you go to. Even I think Frontierland, in my opinion, again, Disneyland Paris is extremely beautiful. It's a lot bigger than the one in Magic Kingdom, as far as I can tell. And so for me, it looks so pretty. For me, that's one thing that really makes it stand out from some of the other parks. When you mention food, I'll have to be honest, as much as I love Disneyland Paris, I do think that's, especially when it comes to their quick services, it's not as good as, unfortunately, the US parks. They have loads of really nice sit-down restaurants, table service restaurants. Yes. And so I would say if you're coming to Disneyland Paris, definitely make sure you eat at one of the sit-down restaurants, whether it's a buffet. You know, we have Pim Kitchen, which is a buffet restaurant in Walt Disney Studios, or Walt's Restaurant, or Ratatouille Chez Remy. There's a new restaurant called Rosalie, which is open in Disney Village, which is the equivalent of Disney Springs.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. So they've got really nice, you know, sit-down restaurants. But when it comes to snacks, it's something that I think is improving and it's getting better, but it's not one that I would say come to Disneyland Paris for the snacks, sadly.
Oh, well, that's okay. I know. Listen, I'm a sit down person too. So
yeah, so that's good.
Like,
yeah.
Like we always go to Topolino's.
I did the breakfast, but not the dinner.
The dinner is
it good?
But the breakfast is great too. The breakfast is like, you know how all Disney breakfast, eggs, bacon. This is
Topolino's
totally different vibe. Mm-hmm. You actually get real like food. Mm-hmm. So
but I'd love to do it for dinner one day.
Oh, it's definitely do it. The rigatoni, and the best is like you could sit at the bar. So like we were doing a content trip, And it was, of course, it was booked. It was booked. It was booked. Mm-hmm. And then I just walked in and my wife's like, don't you want to talk to the hostess? I said, no. Walked right to the bar, sat down. They gave us menus. I was like,
nice.
That easy. No kids on that trip. Good. So that's it was a lot easier. So with you being able to go to all the parks, that is one thing that I am the most jealous of. You've been to every Disney park.
I can't believe it myself.
So let's just start with, what is that like?
It's really cool because you see the uniqueness of every park. Mm-hmm. Now, the way it happened was for me as a child, I only went to Disneyland Paris. Then my first, you know, outside of Europe park was Disney World. And then I gradually got to do the other ones over the course of 10 years. But the cool thing about visiting all the Disney parks is that you see the similarities and you feel the same kind of magic, honestly, in all of them. But at the same time, you notice so many different things and elements, whether it's the cast members, just even the way they interact. Every cast member across the world is amazing, but the way they're trained is going to be a little bit different. And so you notice those things, you appreciate them. And then that actually makes you appreciate all the other parks more because you appreciate the uniqueness of every individual park. It's really cool. So I think that's one thing that I've definitely taken away from having been lucky enough to visit all of them. It's hard to say, you know, one is better than the other because they all have their amazing elements. And they all are fantastic parks. Even Walt Disney Studios Park in Paris, which gets a lot of hate, unfortunately.
Yeah, I see that's another thing. We don't know anything about the hate. Our park here that gets the hate, Animal Kingdom.
Oh, really? See, for me, Animal Kingdom is my absolute favorite in Walt Disney World.
Gets the hate because, like, it's a half-day park.
Everyone says that, yeah.
You know, so, like, it's funny that you say that because I'm like, yeah, here we have that, too.
It's a similar thing for Walt Disney Studios. People say it's a half-day park. I mean, they're currently doing expansions on it, so hopefully, eventually, people might feel differently about it.
The expansions they're doing across the world right now, and we're getting a little jealous here at Magic Kingdom. Because it's like, what's beyond Big Thunder? You've been asking me for 10 years. What's beyond Big Thunder? Can you answer it now? But, you know, Disneyland is getting, and that's one thing I'll never complain about. Disneyland California getting that huge, you know, makeover is big because it's Walt's park. So I'm like, okay, I can't even get mad. Yeah. So you've been to Disneyland. You've been to Disney World in the States. You've been all over to Hong Kong and Tokyo or... What is your favorite one to vlog at? What was the easiest one to vlog at? What was like the
easiest one to vlog at was Walt Disney World because I think it's so common for people to vlog there, as in like it's become very well known. And I didn't get as many looks. I didn't feel like as many people were questioning me or confused. You know, in Paris, quite often when I do it, even though in Paris there are loads of vloggers as well, a lot of French vloggers as well as obviously some English vloggers, some Spanish vloggers. So you do see vloggers in Disneyland Paris quite often as well, but it's still not as well known. So you might see a family of tourists just not understanding what it is, just being like, hey, I'm on camera, like things like that, which I've not noticed as much in Walt Disney World. In fact, in Disney World, not that I vlogged there too many times, but the few times that I've been lucky enough to be there and vlog, you know, I've even had people come to me, especially on my most recent trip, and like just chat to me as if the vlogging is the most normal thing. And I had somebody, a girl, come to me and say, hey, I see you're a vlogger. I think there's this cool thing over there that maybe you should go and vlog. And I was like, oh, thank you. It's incredible. It's so like second nature, I feel like, for people in Disney World.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like my wife never did content. So when we started 8 months ago, she obviously gets nervous. She still gets a little weird with having a camera in front, whatever. I'm like, look around you. Everyone's like,
everywhere you
look at Disney World, someone's recording, Snapchatting, Instagramming, TikToking.
Instagram Live, you know. There's always TikTok is a big thing now. Apparently.
I'm like, nobody cares what we're doing, I promise. Yeah. The one thing, my rule is we try not to get kids, unless there are kids, in a shot. And I don't film at pools. And that's my guy. Everything else is fair game. If you're in the background waving your hands, I don't care. Have fun. You know, just hit the subscribe button.
Especially if somebody's waving in the background, I try my best to include them because I'm like, well, that person made the effort to be in my video. Let's make sure they are.
Yeah, and it's Disney. It's, you know, the happiest, most magical place on earth. Why not? Yeah. Why not do that? But that's funny, like, that Disney World is so much easier because I guess it's so accepted there. Because I know in like certain parks, was it Tokyo, they're not like big on people vlogging a lot, right?
Yeah, so it's mainly because Tokyo was the last park that I visited, and it was last summer, and I waited a long time to be able to go there. I was meant to go just before the pandemic, and obviously COVID happened and my flights got canceled, and so then I had to wait another few years to be able to rebook that. And yeah, just before, maybe like a few months before I went, these rules came about how, like, you know, they're being a bit more strict. And I think that scared me because I was like, well, I still want to go, but I'm not going to vlog, I guess, if that's not something that is, you know, wanted there. I checked with Tokyo Disney. I checked with cast members once I got there to make sure that it's allowed, and nobody said that it wasn't. And also there's a few vloggers that I watch who go to Tokyo Disney on a regular basis. They live there, they're local.
Oh, cool.
And I made sure to watch some of their vlogs to see how they were vlogging. And one thing I noticed that they were doing was that they were blurring people's faces, which yes. is what I started doing after I went to Tokyo. And it was hard learning how to. It takes ages, Anthony. Like,
oh,
it's
so
not
I don't even know how to do that. That's one
oh,
thing I'm
God.
Like, okay,
I had to learn.
You
yeah.
have to tell me how to do this because
it's not. Once you get the hang of it, it's not too difficult. But it is time consuming. And so once I started doing it for Tokyo, just because even though nobody even told me that I should, but because I was watching other people's vlogs, locals, and how they were vlogging, I told myself, let's try and do it the way they're doing it.
It's the respect for Absolutely. How things yeah. are done there. And I think Absolutely. That respect goes a long way in content mm-hmm. creating. Like yeah. I always ask people like, hey, I'm shooting. Are you cool? If you're
absolutely.
In the back or,
yeah.
And people are, I don't care. You know what I mean? They're yeah. on vacation. They don't Absolutely. Care. But yeah. it's just showing that respect, especially like, that in Japanese culture a lot.
Yeah, a culture that I don't know
yes,
very well,
they,
language that I don't understand. So
exactly.
I can't necessarily go and talk to the people.
Because
yeah.
I just, even in like certain, like I'm like a wrestling fan, mm-hmm. like certain wrestling promotions mm-hmm. blur the fan's face. Like
mm-hmm.
their crowd.
Absolutely.
Or it's very dark
yeah.
so you can't see the crowd. Like,
yeah.
So it's important to respect how things are done, especially
yeah.
in different countries, because not everyone's like, you know, America, where everyone's
yeah,
just everyone's an influencer
yeah.
now
yeah.
in the US. But
yeah.
mm-hmm. Early on, so we're gonna go back now. Early on, mm-hmm. like you told me your feelings of being a content creator. You're like, mm-hmm. I just want to do it because I just feel like I needed an outlet. I felt like just talking about what I wanted to talk about and mm-hmm. not feeling weird, right? Not feeling
mm-hmm.
judged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Besides that, once you like really started, like, all right, now you're the second vlog in, you're more mm-hmm. comfortable, you got 1% mm-hmm. better. What were your fears? Like, what were your, like, were you scared? Like, was there any nervousness or were you just like, nah, this is a hobby. I'm not taking this.
Yeah, I wasn't as nervous. Once I kind of got into it, I wasn't quite nervous anymore because I was treating it very much as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a few years, I had the joy, I think, of being able to just vlog Disney trips without really worrying about how many people are watching. I mean, it was nice when people did, but I wasn't actively looking at analytics or trying to make that next video gain more views than
yeah.
the previous one. I was just filming whatever I wanted. You know, I would put like 3-hour long videos sometimes. Like, I think my first time in California, the video Disneyland California is like a 3-hour video. It's from 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I went with a friend and my friend was like, are you sure 3 hours? I was like, yeah, because I wanted, it's just how I feel like it works best. I want to be able to watch it back in the future.
Memories.
No joke, I've never watched it back. It's been like almost a decade and I've never watched the full thing back. Like I've looked through bits and bobs of it, but not the whole thing. But so that was a fun time because I would still get nervous from time to time if I felt like somebody was watching me when I was vlogging, but that's like normal. But I didn't really care about, you know, how I was vlogging. It was more like at that point I'd gotten a bit more confident. I knew how I had a bit of a style as to how I was doing it at
yeah.
the time. And so it was just having fun, doing what I was doing, you know, in the parks anyway, and just filming it. And not worrying too much about how perfect the shot is or how well my voice can be heard, just really having the camera with me. And it felt like second nature to just grab it and take, you know, put it down. And I had a very small, tiny camera without a mic,
yeah.
which made it so easy. And so those were some of my favorite times, actually, in the box with the camera.
Was it hard trying to find that style of vlog? You said you kind of found your style. Like, did that take a while or is it just something that you're like, okay, this is just because we're still trying to
yeah.
find ours. Like
mm-hmm.
one thing that I do and it's a bad habit is I walk and I have the vlog camera as I'm walking.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's like, why don't we pull to the side?
Stand. Yeah.
Because then you're not like, whoa, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's something we're
yeah.
going to try to do.
Yeah, yeah. No, so I need to tell myself to do that as well. Your wife's absolutely correct. I try and do that a bit more often myself.
It's like the camera's bouncing.
I know. It's bouncing. You might bump into somebody if you're not careful. Like, you know, you just don't know. So that's how I used to do it. And, you know, it was fun because I didn't care at the time. So I was just like, yeah, we're going to this ride and somebody in the back might do something and I don't even know what they're doing. And I'm not aware of what's happening in my surroundings. But now I'm, you know, I think if you're trying to take it a bit more seriously, not as in like be serious in the vlogs because you always want to have fun, but you know, trying to take content creating more seriously, then yep. I think it is best to just think about what the background yes. is, not just go with the flow and hope for the best.
Yeah. How did you turn the corner to go from, okay, this is a hobby to, all right, this is what I want. This is my livelihood. Yeah. This is, I'm going to make money. I'm going to make a channel. I'm going to grow. I'm going to market. I'm going to do, because people think content creating is just picking up the camera and recording.
No,
it is connecting.
I wish it was.
Yeah. It's connecting. It is marketing. Yeah. It is putting clips yeah. out there. It is trying to, yeah. you know, garner more attention mm-hmm. to grow your yeah. audience and mm-hmm. not make anyone mad. And
yeah,
you know, it's a lot goes into content.
And on top
creating.
Of that, you do need a little bit of luck as well. I think yes. unfortunately with content creating, no matter how much hard work you put into it, it can take you to some extent forward, but you still need that little bit of luck yeah. for the algorithm, for something to just pick up at least one of your videos for mm-hmm. it to help. So for me, it was like, I want to say maybe like the year before COVID, 2019, So my friends who had all bought annual passes with me from the first time we went together, they decided that they didn't want to renew their annual passes. A lot of them were moving out of London to other parts of the UK, so they weren't able to go to Paris as easily, because with London, you can get the train, Eurostar, whereas from other cities in the UK, your only option really is to fly or, you know, get the ferry. So then I still wanted to have my annual pass because I still loved going to Disneyland Paris, and I started to go on my own a few times. And when I went on my own, I realized that it makes no sense for me to just show myself having fun, even though that would be great. And I could just yeah. go and have a lovely time and take it at my own pace. But I feel like if I did that, I would not do as much, perhaps, because I'm on my own, you know, and then it wouldn't be a very fun vlog. So I realized that I was getting bored of filming the same stuff, because I feel like I'd done that for a few years with my friends and sometimes on my own, just kind of filming my trips. And then I realized that I way of style of vlogging for me was no longer making me happy, because I was so bored of even saying the words. Like, I was bored of saying, hey, I've just arrived at Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
Like, that itself was something that I didn't enjoy saying anymore. I know it's really dramatic. And people, my small audience of viewers that I had at the time, were very upset when I decided to change my style. For a few months, they were like, we prefer the old style of vlogs. But that's when I started to do more like, I suppose, what's the word, focus vlog. So I would do a video focusing on a dining experience or some of the new merchandise.
Yeah, kind of like niche vlogs. Like, okay.
Exactly,
this is,
yeah.
Like our channel, like that's why we do the podcast, right?
Yeah.
We do the podcast weekly because we don't live in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
We go maybe five times a year, which is okay. Mm-hmm. But like, how can we connect every week? Well, through a podcast. So it's
amazing.
Podcast, vlogs. We started, when we started the Disney thing, we started as Anyone Can Cook. We changed our name. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, if you look up Anyone Can Cook, you're never finding me.
That's
but
true.
But all our thing was like, we would talk and do Disney recipes. And it was fun. And people got mad when we stopped doing the recipes. But I was like, hey, $60 a week for a recipe, right? So that's $204 a month. We just bought annual passes. I'll go to Disney for $240 a month. Like, I will vlog there for $240 a month. So
no,
that's
that
when
makes
we start
total
changing.
Sense.
So I get it. People get kind of into your content, certain intros, certain way things are shot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Even like as far as like cameras, people are like, whoa, what is this new camera?
Yeah.
It people pick up on everything.
It's incredible, isn't it? Like, I feel like, people sometimes are more observant than I am as somebody who's creating the content. They're like, oh, that bit, like, not, you know, the lens isn't correct or the focus I don't like here, whereas I may have completely overlooked it. It was difficult doing the change. And then I did it for some time. I did it for 2019. And actually, funnily enough, in 2019, when I was doing these kind of new style of videos, my Disney vlogs really weren't getting as many views. And I was still doing some theater content because I wasn't going to Disney as often still. So I was still doing some stuff in London. And sometimes they would get more views than my Disney ones. And it took a while for people to get used to it. And then obviously COVID happened.
Yes,
and
that's when I literally got into watching the vlog, like going back, because we couldn't be there.
Absolutely, yeah.
So watching people be there when the world slowly started to open up made me go, okay, this is like...
Yeah. That's when I think discovered loads of the Florida vloggers, because Disney World opened way before Paris. And so I think it was one of the first Disney parks to open worldwide, because California also opened quite late. reopened after
Florida kind of went by their own rules.
Yeah, exactly. They went by Florida rules.
Yeah, Florida has different rules than the rest of the world.
But it was fun. It was comforting watching people go back into the park and seeing how it looks like after the pandemic, and exactly. It's still enjoyable. Like, you know,
there's that fear of, will this ever get back to what it was?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Are people still going to come? Is it?
Yeah.
And like, as soon as the gates were open again, even with masks, they made it as magical as they could.
And
that's
absolutely
credit to the Disney company, because that was a hard time for everyone to navigate with. And I also think a lot of people fell in love with content creators, Twitch streamers, YouTubers. That's when TikTok blew up.
Yeah.
It's like, I'd rather give my hard money to someone who I relate to than these TV networks. People are cutting cable. And do you think that, do you think the pandemic has something to do with that? That then people said, I'm going to start finding more relatable content.
For sure. I think so. I mean, just going by my own, you know, how my channel's grown, I feel like for me, from 2021 onwards is when my channel started kind of suddenly growing, because it was quite stable. I was growing, but very slowly, if that makes sense. And in 2020, I Disneyland Paris opened for like only a few months. I managed to go towards the end of it reopening, did like one vlog, because I wanted to wait a few months before I went back just to see how other people are coping. Yeah. I was too scared.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, honestly, kudos to all these vloggers who went on the first day. I wanted to make sure everything is, I just wanted to see how it's being done before I took the leap and did it. And then 2021, finally, Disneyland Paris reopened for good. And so I was lucky enough to be there for its reopening, because at that point, you know, a few years later, that people know more about COVID and whatnot. Yes, everyone knows what to expect.
There's vaccines out.
Absolutely, yeah. That's actually a good
The point, bodies you know, have adjusted more to the kind of new sickness. So,
exactly. Scientists kind of have possibilities of helping you if you do get COVID.
Yes.
So then I went, and again, the first few days, I returning to Disneyland Paris in 2021, I just kind of, because it had been quite a long time for me, it felt like, with the pandemic since I was last in Disneyland Paris, I decided to go back to my old way of vlogging, of just vlogging my day.
Yeah.
Being back
Isn't
in Disneyland
Paris.
Isn't
that funny how that happened?
Exactly, because like, I was, it's weird. And I really enjoyed it, because I hadn't done it for so long, and it felt natural to me to just be like, you know, how I used to be in my videos. And then those videos got a lot of views, and that's also when I started to notice that I was making enough money. So it was like, it's bizarre. It kind of all happened. Before COVID, I was making a little bit of money from being monetized, but it was never substantial enough by any means to do anything. It was like pocket money. I treated it as like, I would have a little bit extra money to take with me on my next Disney trip
I can eat at this restaurant and review
that was,
it for
that's
the, yeah.
how I treated it. And don't get me wrong, I was happy, because I also had another job at the time. I was working almost six, seven days a week, and also doing vlogs. And I was like, this is perfect, because I can make a bit of money from YouTube, but also, you know, go and have a stable income. And 2021, I noticed a gradual increase every month with the amount of, you know, I guess monetization, the amount of revenue that I was making through YouTube. And it was scary. I remember telling my friends, like, I don't know what to do about this. Do you think it's going to continue? And I, for the majority of 2021, I just monitored it. I was still doing other jobs and monitoring what was happening with the, you know, revenue, to see if I was something that I could fully rely on.
Yeah, and people were saving during that time, because the economy, absolutely. You couldn't go do anything.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, I work 60 hours a week, and we'll get into the working and content creating and how to balance it question next, but I work 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I'm a dad and, you know, a husband, so I have all this stuff on my plate. But like, during that time, I managed Sherwin-Williams. I'm not the competitor, but I managed Sherwin-Williams, and I could not believe how much people were spending, because they were just like, I'm home, I'm redoing my whole house.
Yeah.
I'm just going to paint everything. It's like, okay. Like, it was like the years that we were supposed to be like down. It's like, whoa, what is happening?
No, I know. Those were such strange times coming out of the pandemic, as you say, with you know, once everything was suddenly reopening and things that we could do. For me, that was, I guess, in a similar way, where I just gradually started going more, and then I started to realize that it could become something. Yes. And so I became more aware of it. And that's when it became more serious behind the scenes, still having fun on, you know, on camera when I'm in the parks, but taking it a lot more seriously behind the scenes and actually looking into analytics. And that's something that I've never cared about. You know, I would look and be like, oh, okay, I made this much, but like it was never enough for me to even look into that data or worry about it. But then I started to look into a bit more and see what videos were working and what which ones weren't working. And then I tried different styles as well. Some of them nobody cared about. Some of them people did. And I've been extremely lucky since. I don't know where it will go. I don't expect it to be a forever thing. Yeah. It's hard, especially when it's just me. I'm doing everything. Yes. And I'm sure it's the same with you. Like, you're not really, you know.
We don't have editors.
I don't have an editor. Yeah, No. Absolutely, yeah. Everything is you. Emails, you know, if emails come through, it's just you.
Like I'm reaching out to people for guests like I did for you as just me. There's no LLC. Hi, I'm Anthony. Like, they're like, who?
Yeah. But it's hard. It's difficult.
It is. There's the editing. There's the Instagramming. There's the marketing. There's the TikToking. There's the trying to find like groups that you can share stuff in. Like, it's so tough to be a content creator, but it's also very like it had to feel amazing to look and go, I can now just do this, right? So was that feeling like? You go from working and content creating, which we'll get into that now, is sometimes a nightmare.
It is.
The reason my first brand failed is because I burn out. We were growing. I was working 50 hours a week, and then I'd come home and work on that 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where I was like, I love doing this, but I'm burning out. I had, you know, my first daughter, and I was looking at it and I was like, I could just get a second job. Like,
and I'd be well off.
So I did that. And I just said, okay, I'm just going to work your job. But I always had that passion for, and this is why I'm doing this, because I love it. Like there's that passion.
Absolutely.
So what is it like when you were like balancing it? Because you weren't taking it as serious, but when you started making that little bit of money, were you?
Yeah.
When did you it might be time to leave? And was that a scary like decision?
It was extremely, it was very scary. But I did have a couple of years where I was making just that kind of not enough to live on, but enough money to be able to go to a couple of restaurants.
Put back in the brand,
Where I was taking it a little bit more seriously, not seriously enough, but you know, making sure that I am now uploading at least once or twice a week. Whereas before it would just be sporadic. Now I was like, I had a schedule on my phone and I was still working, but I was also filming. And I don't know, have you heard of Vlogmas?
Mm-mm. Oh, is that the 12 days of Vlogmas?
Yeah. It's 24 days.
Oh, yeah.
Like every single day.
Moro just did like 12 days this year. And I was like,
it's incredible. Like, so I, before, you know, doing this full time, for some reason, because I loved YouTube so much and I genuinely like you have a passion for it, I was adamant for a few Christmases up until 2019, I think, to just do films consecutively for 24 days. And this is whilst I was working. My workmates were like, are you okay? Like, why are you doing this? You're putting yourself through I was not sleeping. I was like working in the day, coming home, editing, getting 2 hours of sleep, going back to work.
Recording, editing.
Yeah. And I didn't even feel like the content I was putting was interesting because I wasn't doing much. I was mainly going to work. So obviously, thankfully, I had, you know, workmates that were happy to be on camera and, you know, we had fun filming them. But all of that was really for not a lot of reward back. I enjoyed doing it, but it didn't necessarily help grow my channel or anything. It was just something that I loved doing. Mm-hmm. But I think it did give me the work ethic to just make sure that if I want to do something, if I've said I'm going to put something up, I'm going to make sure that it goes up, which is something that is important now.
Yes.
And now it's something that is like, I do need to try and make sure I put a certain amount of videos up in a week for the end of the month for it to work in terms of it now being my income, which is a little bit more stressful than it was because you have to think about all these aspects. You can't just, you know, not worry.
I mean, it's like you're worrying about work. Like everyone has that at work stress. They have the Monday scary Sunday night. They go, oh, I got to start working. It has to be the same for you, but it's almost like you own it. So it's like how you edit and how you perform in the video is how the video is going to perform.
Absolutely. And it's scary when it's all on you. Yeah. If it's one person, like, you know, you can't be like, oh, maybe the editing could have been better. Or you know, if it doesn't work, it's you.
Yep.
really. Or some luck, maybe.
What do you edit on?
Final Cut Pro.
Okay, yeah, because I know Final Cut Pro is big. I use Adobe Premiere Pro.
Okay, yeah.
So, fair.
They're the two big ones, I think.
Yeah, like I used to try to do like the iMovies back in the day. Not enough tools.
No, I started with iMovie years and
I think
years
we all started with iMovie and eventually we're like, I can't do anything here.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to. Yeah, exactly. It's very limited. Once you want to do more stuff, you need something a bit more complex.
So you mentioned now this is your job, right? You said 2 to 3 videos a week. That's kind of where you're at, right? That's what you promote, 2 to 3 videos a week.
Yeah.
Is that by doing like, are you like, that's how your schedule works? It's a day to film, a day to edit, put it out, day to film, day to edit, put it out. Or are you just stacking content like you knew you were going to be out during this time and then putting them out later?
So for the most part, I stack because I'm not lucky enough to live literally 5 minutes away from Disneyland Paris. I still do have to get a train and make sure I book a train well in advance so that I get it at a good price, all of these things. So whenever I do go to Disneyland Paris, I might be there for only 4 days and film like 20 videos. Honestly, like I need to have enough content so that when I'm back, I can give them out.
it's hitting home. We do like the 3 days and we put like 8 vlogs out from 3 days.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then I get impatient. How do you not get impatient with putting this content out?
Oh my God.
Because there's times I'm editing, I'm going, this is the video.
Yeah. And so I feel like I'm relating to you so much right now because I feel like I'm like you. I used to get very impatient and I think I've only decided to give myself this only 3 videos a week schedule at the start of this year. I decided this is what I'm going to do because for the most part, I would be the same. I would edit a video and be like, well, I kind of want this to be up tomorrow, even though I only uploaded a video today.
Yeah.
And then, but if I do that, then I'm going to have a week of no videos, so I forced myself now to wait unless it's something that is. So if I'm filming something that is very time, if it has something to do with like time specific, maybe that's the word. So if I'm filming a Christmas video at Disneyland Paris and it's the opening day of the Christmas season, I will have to put that up straight away.
When we did the Halloween party, I'm like, has to go up. Mm-hmm. Has to.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly. So anything that has, time specific themes like Christmas, Halloween, I can't put like Christmas up. I would not feel okay putting something Christmassy on my channel in November. No, not November, sorry, in March or April. Yeah. November's fine, obviously. But I want it to be when people are feeling Christmassy, and same with Halloween. So those are some of the most stressful times of my vlogging life. Like October, November, December are some the months where I normally feel the most like, there's a lot of filming to do and editing to do because I don't only have to film them, but I only also have to put them up straight away as soon as I can.
Yeah.
But yeah, with when I go to other theme parks, for instance, like you said, in Disney World, I feel like I do have the luxury because I'm not the local. I'm not going to Disney World necessarily to show the newest snacks because
show your experience because you've never been.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, no, that's literally it. I'm showing me just enjoying being there because I don't get to go often at all. So that's easier to then put on my channel a little bit later because it doesn't matter. I mean, I hope that
in a few months it doesn't change. It kind of goes back to that old style that you were saying.
Absolutely.
Where it's just
so nice.
And the camera and not a niche topic, I feel like that's what we do. It's like restaurant review, resort review, this. And
do you sometimes do your kind of more relaxed style as well from time to time?
We do. We did one. It was the first day as pass holders.
That was
super fun. We're going to try to do more. Like that's a conversation we have had is like, it's like, we're trying to be too professional and it's like, just show our personality and show.
Yeah.
Some people just might want to watch a married couple in Disney.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean?
Yeah. So it's good to mix it up sometimes.
We're going
to
do some, like, obviously, we connected because the all ears interview with Quincy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one thing that I'm going to take from them is games, but we're going to do different games. So like that, there's a TikTok trend going away where it was like Applebee's or, Buffalo Wild Wings. And it's a cue card and they pick it.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to let the cue cards pick our whole day.
So that's
going to be a fun one. Like Space or Splash. Like if Tiana's is open.
Fun.
But like,
because then you're also having fun and the audience is having fun with you. And it's a bit different to, like you said, your more serious, professional videos, I suppose.
Yeah, because we do the resort reviews and all like that.
Same.
It's nice sometimes just like when we did the first day of annual pass.
Yeah.
It was just us going on rides, laughing.
Like, amazing.
And that was probably the most fun we had vlogging.
Yeah. My favorite vlogs are also the ones now, because I mainly do professional informative ones. Yes. My favorite ones are when I can just let my heart take me where I want to go.
Yeah, I'm just going to Disney World and whatever I eat, I eat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
I don't care. I'm going to eat all the snacks because I'm not here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you prefer like vlogging alone, or did you like when you had your safety net, your friends, or now it's kind of like you are so focused that it's like, I don't. Because there is benefits it's different, to both.
Yeah, it's, do you know what? I think I prefer vlogging alone, and I don't know why I say that, but I do find it less distracting when I'm filming alone.
Yes.
However, if I'm doing a video, if I'm doing the kind of this old school style of vlogs where I'm just filming what I'm doing in a day and exploring a new park for the first time, for instance, you know, not worrying too much about getting things right or wrong because I'm just having a good time, then I don't mind having it. Then it's actually fun. It can be fun having a friend who's happy to be there, and, you know, because then I'm not worried too much about what I'm saying. But, sometimes I go with friends and I'm trying to also vlog something that's like a restaurant with you. And then I feel bad because my friend's food might come and I'm like, oh, do you mind if I just, do you mind if you...
Yeah. Camera eats first. That's what my wife
says. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to touch them. So camera eats first. I'm like, oh, camera.
So yeah, because of that, I think sometimes I do prefer going on my own because I don't have to worry about somebody waiting or, you know, I feel like I am quite a people pleaser in some ways. And I just worry too much about people, and I want to make sure everyone's having a good time. So even if my friend's like a million times, don't worry, it's fine, I'm film your thing, I'll wait, I still will feel bad seeing them wait whilst I'm filming. So that's just a me problem. So yeah, because of that, I do find it easier.
It is tough, like, you know, I watch other vloggers and they collaborate with other vloggers and everyone's vlogging.
Yeah.
How?
Like, I don't know.
I would be so ADD because I have it. I'd be like, wait, what? Who? Oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
Where's the camera? Am I on my camera? Like, it's, I couldn't do it. But
no.
I'm 100% encouraged collaboration, but I couldn't have
other people. Maybe like have a, but it's hard then. I was going to say, maybe you can have like a sort of organization where somebody starts their vlog first and then you vlog, but then if there's loads of you and the food's just been brought up, everyone wants to film it. So
like,
what
like the
you
first
do?
Day of like Food and Wine, you see all the vloggers are all hanging out together. I'm like, how? Yeah. How are they doing this? Because like, I'm trying to focus on the food. You're taking your food. You're eating my food now.
But I think that's also like, I just get distracted easily. Some people seem to do well, even when there is noise and people around them and they can still get their words out. For me, I hear something and my mind goes blank and then I get the words wrong and I have to start again. So I think because that's again, something that if I practice more, maybe it'll be something that I can not worry about too much and still get things right and say what I want to say without getting distracted constantly.
Exactly. What US vloggers do you watch?
I love Ollie's. Mm-hmm. So obviously Ollie's as a channel, I think they're probably some of the most, they're probably the most creative Disney channel that I've seen on YouTube so far. I like Mammoth Club as well. Yes. And obviously Molly was in Ollie's. I do watch Paging Mr. Morrow from time to
and
time.
Nate's a fun vlog. Like that's what I'm saying. Like that's like the kind of like, he'll have a topic, but like sometimes he don't hit the topic. And
us
as the viewers are like, don't hit the topic. You're having a blast. Yeah. You know? those three are,
Super enthused. Jackie's I watch as
amazing.
Well, informative, but also fun.
And then we're talking to her, so hopefully soon.
But
like the positivity, like I love vibes that make me feel like I escape. I work all day. I want to come home. I want to pour a glass of wine, you know, get my chips ready and watch some vlogs and just take it in and relax.
And I think I also enjoy people who don't complain too much, even though complaining is fine and it's good to be honest and give your honest reviews. Sometimes I just feel like the majority of a vlog is just them complaining.
There is.
That's not fun. As you said, when you want to eat your food and watch a video, you want to know the truth. You want to get honesty.
Like, is it not good? But like, you don't have to bash it or, you know, like.
You don't have to make a whole video being like, oh,
this is
so
Italy's the worst booth in the world. Listen, I'm Italian.
Exactly.
I know it hurts my feelings. Okay. Let's not make videos of it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That's what I'm like. I like those kind of vlogs too, like the positive vlogs. And I think like all the years, the games, like everyone kind of has their niche, like Molly, Mammoth Club, they have their games, the rock, paper, scissors games. What do you draw any inspiration where you're like, hey, let me try something different for my channel? Cause this is a, like, obviously not mimic it, but just draw inspiration. Like, absolutely, the cue cards is a game.
Yeah.
But we're drawing inspiration from games, obviously, from All Ears, because it's a different kind of style.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not like, hey, we're going to go play hide and seek. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard because I think those two channels that you've mentioned, Mammoth Club and All Ears, it's not just one person.
Yes.
So there's a group of them. So I think there's so much that I sometimes, you know, get inspired to do from watching these channels, but I feel like it takes a lot more effort. And I've tried, and it's something that I'm planning, and, you know, behind the scenes, trying to figure out if it's something that I can maybe do at some point, if I can go with a bunch of my friends who are happy to be on camera. But it's a lot harder to organize something like that when it's just one of you, unfortunately. But yeah, you're right. There are things that you can still get inspired by. Like, I really like the All Ears, you know, best day ever videos. I've actually been told multiple times that you should do a video like that in Disneyland Paris. And of course, if I do it, I'll be crediting All Ears because I think that's what they're, you know, known for, the best day ever at this park kind of thing. So things like that, I'm like, yeah, these are things that I should do. That you're right, though. I think one of the reasons I love watching these channels that do have these creative ideas from time to time, in fact, in most of their videos, is because without even realizing it, I do get inspired. And sometimes I might write down notes of like, oh, this is something that could be. I do have a list of notes on my
We take
phone.
Notes, too.
Yeah. Something might come up.
My interview questions were on my notes, and now they're in front of me.
Exactly. So I just put it down, and when or if I'll ever film it, I don't know, but at least I have it, and then I can maybe in the future I'll look back at it and actually maybe change a little bit the idea and make something different with it.
And that's what we were talking about, because like that little inspiration or like little touches of editing where I've seen, you know, All Ears put up stuff like rope drop, and then they explain rope drop, like cool little touches that, like, hey, if I ever do something, I can do that. And you know, obviously credit to them for doing it, but it does help the viewer, and I'm a viewer, so it makes you more aware of what you're looking for.
Absolutely.
Jackie never walks and talks,
like,
see her, and I'm like, that's when my wife's like, aunt, stop doing that, because, like, look, she pulls to the side and it's like a still shot, the lighting's great, and I'm like,
yes, you're right. Exactly. So you can take bits and bobs from different vloggers and see what you can do with it. Yeah.
So walking around Disneyland Paris, are you starting to get recognized?
I do get recognized from time to time. And it's honestly incredibly just humbling, and just, I don't understand it every time it happens. Yes. It's bizarre. It's
surreal.
It's surreal. Yeah. It takes me back every single time it happens. But yeah, it's incredible, because it, like, when it happens, it just, even if I've had a maybe wobbly day where I've not felt the most confident, and somebody comes and says hi, then the confidence becomes a little bit more. And I feel like now I can start my video with a bit more energy and a bit more, just a confidence, knowing that, you know, there's somebody here who just literally came and said they enjoyed a video that I had posted. So it's extremely appreciated when people come to me. I can't even explain how.
Yeah. And even just the comments online that people write that are nice, and like, because the internet's a bunch of haters, honestly.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, some, like, I could post a video and they're like, I hate Disney. Then why are you watching this?
Yeah. You have to laugh at it, because as you said, it makes no sense.
But every great comment outweighs thousands of comments.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, as long as, like, I always say, as long as I got one person watching and going, hey, this is awesome. I mean, we do it for us too, because we love it, but it's always important to know, like, that you are reaching somebody.
Honestly, even if it's just one person who has said, you know, your video made me have a better day because of your video.
Yep.
That's amazing. That makes it so much more worthwhile.
There's no monetary, like, amount that can equivalent that, you know? Like,
no, honestly,
to feel like you're helping someone, and
It's something that I would never, I think, because social media and YouTube is still quite new. I mean, it's been around for over a decade now, but it's something that is, I just never would have dreamt about being able to do something like this as an adult when I was a child. I never thought this was going to be a path that I could at least be on for some time of my life.
Yeah, I always thought, it's incredible. I always said, like, I told Quincy, hey, I wanted to be like a radio broadcaster, because like vlogging and podcasting weren't a thing.
No.
And now I kind of get to live out what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I still have my day job. But I
have to live, but still, you're doing this, which is incredible. Yeah. And I thought I was going to go down a journalism path. Writing, I really enjoyed writing after I did my science degree. And now I'm doing a totally different, I mean, kind of similar.
It's
kind of, but
it's just video writing, right? Like, it's like it went from blogging to vlogging.
Yeah. But I didn't even know this was a possibility when I did my course.
Yeah.
No. it's crazy. Not like in a way that could actually, you know, give something back to me, and not just for me doing it for nothing.
What is your main goal of the whole channel? What is the main goal, the main focus? Like, when I know you're feeling great now because this is now your job. Like, you've hit a lot of milestones, and it's always important to watch every milestone and take every milestone in. But there's always a goal on the horizon.
I think it would be cool if I one day reach, I think it's 100,000 subscribers when you get the plaque. I think that would, I think if I ever get that, if I'm ever lucky enough to get that, I think I would feel completely satisfied with this journey that I've been on YouTube. When or if that will ever happen, I don't know. But really, I think the main thing that keeps me going is to make sure that I just love making videos. So it's hard to say. So my main goal is to just be able to continue making videos and hopefully, you know, try different types of videos from time to time, go to different theme parks and not always necessarily Disneyland Paris, and try different ways of presenting my vlogs and hoping that people still watch, so I can keep doing it for as long as possible is the hope.
That's the best answer you could give, honestly. It is the answer I was looking for. Too many times there's monetary goals.
Yeah.
Like the plaque goal, obviously, that comes
It's just fun, but, you know, it would be a fun thing to have.
Like having that YouTube plaque would be pretty cool, and they don't give them out to anyone. You know, like you gotta work. Look, they don't even give partnership out to just anyone. You gotta work for partnership. That journey.
Everything's becoming a lot more difficult.
4,000 watch hours, 3 million short views. Like,
it wasn't like this when I started. So, you know, they're making it harder now. So honestly, incredible that people are still managing to get far with YouTube when, you know, as you said, there's so many things you have to bypass to be able to even get monetized.
They're moving the goalposts back as everyone gets closer.
Absolutely, unfortunately. So
every time we end Creator's Corner, we do quick little questions.
Okay.
We have 5 questions, all Disney.
All right.
First thing that comes to your mind, favorite snack?
The Croque Monsieur's at Disneyland Paris.
Favorite park?
Disneyland Paris.
Yeah. Favorite ride?
Oh, favorite ride. I like the Sinbad ride in Tokyo Disney. See? Fantastic.
Favorite character?
Favorite character. I love Woody.
Really? That's awesome. That's that's good.
I'm wearing a Pixar.
I saw that. I was going to comment on it after the interview. I love
mean,
that
Woody's one of my favorites. I probably have other favorites as well. You just told me to go for the first one.
It's hard. It's definitely
Sorry,
hard.
Goofy.
Oh man, the Fab Five just got kicked to the side.
I know, right?
Favorite Disney movie?
I do Toy Story or Hunchback of Notre Dame.
There you go. That's awesome. That's the first time I got the Hunchback answer. Toy Story is very popular.
It is a popular one.
We just did we have a Patreon, and we just did a March Magic bracket because it's March Madness in the States. It's the biggest college basketball tournament.
Okay.
64 teams go against each other. So we said we're doing all Disney movies. Beauty and the Beast one. I have a Beauty and the Beast tattoo. Obviously, Beauty and the Beast is going to win. But
that's a good one. Beauty and the Beast won against so many other Disney films?
Frozen, Coco, Ratatouille. But we did it. Personal opinion.
Yeah.
Listen, Coco is like, it was like Coco and Beauty and the Beast for
it's
me.
A
and
good
I'm like,
one. Coco's an amazing one. Yeah.
And then Ratatouille was in the mix. And it's very hard to do, but if you do it with like, the way we came up with it is like the supporting characters. Like usually Disney has one supporting character.
Mm-hmm.
Anna and Elsa have Olaf, right? There's Kristoff, there's Sven.
Yeah.
They're not huge in the movie. Rapunzel has her love interest, but then she has Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pooh and Hey Hey from Rana. I was like, literally.
I'm seeing where you're getting at.
Beauty and the Beast has Cogsworth, Lumiere, like Chip, Mrs. Potts.
True.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's
even
very
Gaston
confusing.
Has a sidekick, which is always cool.
That's I like that.
So that's
I'll accept it as best.
A broad, there's more character development, I said.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
But thank you so much for joining. Where can everyone find you? I mean, most of my viewers probably watch you, but where can they find you?
I'm Sam Forgot on YouTube and on Instagram. In fact, most platforms I'm Sam Forgot, either with a 0 or with an O, depending on where you're looking for me.
Go follow. Amazing content. Does reviews on some of the most beautiful properties I've ever seen in Disney, and hopefully I can get to Disney in Paris. They have a Ratatouille restaurant. Enough said. I need to get there. But we hope you guys enjoyed this interview. Next month's guest, Bree Love, All Ears, returns to Creator's Corner. We're super excited about that. Remember to hit the subscribe, like, comment, share this with a friend. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next time on Creator's Corner.